Great. Those of us who can read, hope you've got a Bible. And we're going to turn. Yeah, here's the sentence of about the Bible. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So we're going to read that now. Joshua chapter 5. That's page 219 in the church Bibles, 219. We've been thinking in adult church and also in Sunday schools about the book of Joshua. Mark, I've got a couple of slides here. Joshua's about promises. Can you see over the top? Can anyone see that? People at the back, what are these promises? What is that promising? Yeah. At the time of what? What's going to? Yeah, when the shop is going to open. The person who has the shop is promising, oh, our shop will be open at that time. Next slide. What is that promising? What? Yeah? Yeah, they're saying the train's going to come at this time. That's making a promise. Promises are words, sometimes in signs, sometimes people speak about something that's going to happen in the future. Words about something that's going to happen in the future. But it's only good if the person can keep them. You know, I can promise everyone it's going to snow tomorrow. No one has to go to school. You can all have the day off. Do you think I can make that happen? I can't make that happen. I'm not strong enough to keep that promise. So promises are only good enough if the person can keep them. God makes promises. Adults, what promises God made to Joshua? Sorry, Chris? Yeah, brilliant, to be with him. What else? Give them the land. Bring them into the promised land. That's right. He promised to give Joshua and the people the land that he'd already promised to Abraham. Joshua 1 says he's going to keep that promise. And at the end of the book of Joshua, chapter 21, it says he's kept all the promises. So we know, because we live after Joshua, God keeps his promises. And that's the book. It's called the book of Joshua. It's not really about Joshua, but God keeps his promises. And what we find inside the book, so the beginning, I will keep my promise. End of the book, God has kept his promise. In the middle bit, we're looking at, we see how he keeps his promise. How does God keep his promise? And this picture is going to help us understand. Don't worry, we'll get to that. So let's have a look at chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 13. So I'm going to read from it. It's on page 219. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. That's it. Let me help you with that. So do keep that open. So verse 13, Joshua looked, and what do you know? There's a man standing opposite him. And Joshua knows God is going to let him take the land. There's going to be battle. So he needs to, is this man a friend of us or an enemy of us? And the man says, "Neither, but I'm the commander of the Lord's army." He's not saying whether he's on one side or the other, which we've got to think, what is he saying? By what he says, the man is telling Joshua, you're asking the wrong question. The question is not, am I on your side? Or am I on the other side? I've come as the Lord's commander of his army. Are you going to do what I tell you? That's what really matters. Now, we can sometimes ask God the wrong question. Sometimes we say to God, what are you doing? Why don't you work things out? And we should really ask God, what do you want me to do, Lord? How do I serve you? So God is keeping his promise. The slide has got those words on. When the commander says, I have now come, it tells us God has come to win his battle. And the battle has got something to do with this big city here that I'm stood in front of, this great big wall. Joshua knows that he's in front of someone great. And so what does he do? What does Joshua do? It's a real question. In the Bible, the answer's in the Bible. What does Joshua do? Yeah, falls to the ground with his face flat on the ground. Okay, that's non-verbal communication, sign language. We use non-verbal communication, sign language. What does this mean? Come here. What does that mean? Be quiet. What does that mean? It means hello, doesn't it? Or sometimes goodbye. It could be either hello or goodbye. It's a greeting. So we use non-verbal communication. If you lie on the floor with your face on the ground, that's non-verbal communication, which means you are a very great person. That's what he's showing by that communication. And he says the words as well, doesn't he? He says, you are the Lord and I am the servant. So he says the words that go with that. And what does the man tell him to do? Take off his sandals. Who got told to do that another time? Who does that remind us of? Moses. Yeah, so Joshua is a great leader like Moses is a great leader. And that's more nonverbal communication, taking your shoes off. If he takes his shoes off, there you go, I'll do it. And the children, smelly, isn't it, at the front here now? That's a way of saying, you are very great. It's another nonverbal communication saying, you are very great. So God is keeping his promise, his way. And Joshua, rather than saying, oh, you're on my side, are you helping me, or are you against me? Joshua needs to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I do it your way? How do I fit in your plans? Like I said, when Sandra's at the front, we worry, we think, you know, God's got to do it so that my children become Christians. Well, sometimes actually God's work is to use children to make their parents Christians. He does it his way. And we need to be asking, God, what do you want me to do? What's your plan? Well, let's have a look and see what God's plan is. Over the page, page 220 in the Bible. So Joshua's just outside the city of Jericho. It's a city. It's got a big wall around the outside to stop enemies getting in. That's what this picture is. It's a picture of the big wall around Jericho. The only way of getting in and out is, what's this supposed to be? Yeah. It's a gate. Yeah, it's the gateway or the doorway, the gate. So it says in chapter 6, verse 1, top of the page, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in. Sorry, no one went out. And no one came in. It was shut. They were scared. They were sort of hiding in their city. Verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. That means I'm giving it to you, along with its king and its fighting men. What do the people have to do? Listen to the instructions. They do have to do something. Verse 3. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So what they have to do, they're going to have to walk around the city carrying the ark, verse 4, make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. Now, I've got a model of the ark. You just grab that, go through this door. Thank you. Rob, do you mind holding the other end of this? Hold this up. Here we go. See that big gold box? That's a bit like what the ark looked. This is a bit smaller, but not a lot smaller. So it was a box made of wood covered with gold. And then on each end, it had a model of an angel being, a cherub, who was guarding it with its wings covering it. Someone who was in growth, thanks, we put it down. Someone who was in a growth group last week, what was the first thing, important thing to go in the box? Someone who was in the growth group who learned that. The commandments, the word of God. So this box was a reminder that two things. God is with his people. This is a picture. It's nonverbal communication again. God is with his people, but actually he's a verbal communicator. God is a God who speaks because his words are inside it. What did they have to do with the box? Did you hear? What did he have to do with the box? Yeah, they had to march it around the city. How many times? 7 times. And how many priests were there to be there? Did it tell us? I think it did, didn't it? Maybe we've not got to that bit, actually. It will say 7 priests. Yeah. So that's a funny thing to do, isn't it? Carry a box around the outside of the city, blowing trumpets. That's a very strange thing to do, but that's what God told them to do. It's a strange instruction. And God is not going to win this battle, give them the city by a big battle. It's going to be the priests who are doing the main job, carrying the box. And the box, the ark, is a reminder, God is here. God is doing this. And really, they're just blowing their trumpets as a way of saying, hooray for God, he's winning. And the number 7 that keeps coming up is it reminds us of God, because God made the world in 6 days, rested on the 7th day. It means it's the whole job done. So on the slide, Mark, we've got the words, God is going to win the battle. And we know that because it's just the box that says God is with his people. The box is going around the city. The priests are the main people doing the work, not the soldiers. And the number 7 is a number that reminds us of God. So we're going to do a little drama of this. Any children want to be priests or carrying the box? Yeah, we're going to, this middle bit of the seats, we're going to imagine this is the city of Jericho. So we need some people to play instruments. And I have some here. I've run out of trumpets. No trumpets this week. But we've got a bunch of instruments. Who would like to carry the box? Joseph, should we have, is it Helen? Hannah, sorry, it's just his own, Hannah. Let's have Hannah. One of you is going to have it. So Joseph, you turn around, lift it up, one hand either side. So turn around, that's it, and lift it up, hand either side. You grab it either side, there we go, ready? Right, and then we need everyone else, come and grab an instrument. We're going to make some noise as we go around. Just untangle that. Okay. There's other things. You've got something to make a noise with. Probably not going to be a tune. We've got some popular instruments here. Has everyone got something? Great. Okay. Right. So, let's just read the instructions then. Verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and make 7 priests. There's some 7 priests. 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. So we want all the instruments to be in front of Joseph. Okay. And he ordered the army to march. We've not got army. Don't have enough people. So you're all going to be in front and we're going to go this way. People with the instruments. We've got instruments. All the instruments come to the front. And I will be like the army. I think you need to... That one's a pretty good one. Grab that one. No, that's not the right one. Yeah, that's a shake. That's a good shake. Right, we're ready. You're going to follow me? Come around and when... We all know what we're doing. The instruments are all making a noise, playing the instruments, and then the box is coming after them. Box carriers, watch out, there's a tight corner there. Don't kill any of the spectators. And slightly tight at the front as well, but we'll get there. Right, let's hear some music. Go, and come after me. Keep coming, that's it, this way. Lots of noise, lots of noise. I can't hear some of you. Make a bit more noise, instruments. That's good. Terrific. And then you sit down. Come on, instruments. Keep going, instruments. Are we managing that corner? That's a tricky corner, isn't it? Well done. Well done. Joseph, you're doing fine. Paul, let Joseph grab it again. But I knew that corner was going to be tricky in such a long vehicle. Oh. Okay. Paul's been promoted. Okay. Do you want to drop the arc here? Well done. Okay, let's read what the Bible says about that. So verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forwards, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. So we didn't have trumpets, we just had instruments to make a noise. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard, that means other soldiers, followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until I tell you to shout, then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night here, there. So there we are, all in the camp. You've come back. Let's put the instruments in here. I think it'll take us a bit too long to do all seven. Great. Thank you. That was really helpful to have you show us what that looked like. So they went home, they had a sleep, and then next day, the most important thing is verse 11. The box, the ark of God, was carried around the city. Next day, verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. Verse 14, just below that. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So that's the second. So we've had the first day, what we've just done. The second day, they did it again. Then we've got the third day, then the fifth day, then the six. And then the 7 days. That's right. And then who's been reading to remember what happened on the seventh day that was different? Did something different on the seventh. Let me read it to you. He has said it, but I'll read it again. Verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, got up early again, marched around the city 7 times. So not just once, 7 times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time round, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Isn't that a strange way for God to win the battle? Mark, if you put the slide up, please. Got two ideas. God is going to win the battle, and he's going to do it in a really extraordinary way. If you can see that there. God is going to win the battle in an extraordinary way. Edison, if you jump on the seat, thanks. That will help others listen as well. Why wait for 7 days? God could do it now. God could just blow the walls away. Make them dust. But he wants the people to learn to trust his way and follow his plan. They don't just watch. They have to do something. They carry the box around, the ark. They blow the trumpets and they trust his way. That's the next bit there. So God is going to win the battle in an extraordinary way. His people must trust. And it feels like the next thing that's going to happen is the city's walls are going to fall down. But Joshua got something special to say to the people before that happens. Verse 17, and he talks about the people who are in the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But you keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you'll make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and silver are sacred to the Lord and must go to his treasury. So Rahab and her family, they trusted God. They're going to be kept safe. Everything else belongs to God, and he can decide what to do it. Some people are going to be destroyed, But some things are going to be kept for his treasury, the special metal. That's because he's in charge. Joshua said that they finish off verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Rob, I think better do this. Wall collapses. Let's drop it down. There we go. So the army, they could go in, and take the city. And that's what happens, verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Now, that's a bit of the Bible that Christians sometimes have got questions about understanding. How can our loving God do that? And the first answer of the Bible is he's in charge of when everyone dies. No one dies apart from when God decides. And he's decided that all those people would die that day. But I know you might still have questions. So for the adults, we're going to think more about this in Wednesday morning church and at the prayer meeting. What's God teaching us today from what happens here? We live a long time after Joshua. We live after Jesus has come. In Joshua's day, God's promise was you will have the land. God promises God's people now to have new life with him now and in the new creation when we die. So there we go. You can see those three things at the top. God is going to win the battle in an extraordinary way, and his people must trust. And that's the same today. What battle is God going to win for us? Some people think that the story of Joshua is to tell us, oh, he'll sort out the problems in your life. He'll sort out problems in your church. No, God is promising in the Bible to deal with our great enemies, Satan and all his demons, death, the enemy of death, and also with the problem of God's anger with our sin. God is going to deal with those, with Satan and his demons, with death, with the problem of God's anger. And God's going to deal with it in an extraordinary way like he did then. He wants us to trust his way of winning. God says in the Bible, people who are not believers will think that God's way is ridiculous. Jesus dying on a cross. What a stupid way for God to win the fight. It looks weak. It looks stupid. It seems wrong. And it seems useless. It's like walking around a city. What difference is that going to make? And they say a man coming to life again. That's nonsense. That can't happen. It's like the walls falling down. It's never going to happen. But Jesus dying on the cross is God's way, his extraordinary way of winning. Jesus coming to life again is God's way, his extraordinary way of winning. And so God's people need to trust that, just like in Joshua's time, they needed to trust God's extraordinary way. And some of what God wants us to do is just like blowing trumpets. The blowing the trumpets was a celebration. God is going to win. He's going to give this city to us. And we are saying to each other, and we're saying to the world, God is going to win. And he's going to give us a place, life with him now and life with him when we die. Now, other people will think we're stupid singing songs about a man who died a long time ago. But we have faith that God is going to win. He will keep his promises if we are believers. God is going to win the battle in an extraordinary way. God's people must trust. Just before you go back to your to sit with your parents, let's pray to God. Sorry, before you do that, didn't make that clear. Let's pray to God. Okay, if it helps you concentrate, close your eyes. Almighty God, we thank you that you keep promises. Now, your promise to us is that we can have life now new life with you as your family, and life with you when we die forever. And you have done, you're keeping that promise in a very strange way through the death of your son, Jesus, and bringing him to life again to beat our enemies. Please help us trust that this is true. And because we trust it, make us glad. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.